Good morning, church family. We just want to welcome you all. So happy to see you. You know, the box lost yesterday. But you know what? God is still good. You know, He's still good when they win. He's still good when they lose. Can I invite you to stand? We just want to welcome you all. We want to welcome our online guests as well, wherever you are watching us from. You're in for a treat today. Pastor D is going to bless you. As always, can we pray? Dear Father God, we come before you with grateful, thankful hearts, Lord. We are so happy, Lord, that we can be in your house, that we can praise you, Lord, that we can give thanks to you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, everything that you are going to do for us, Lord. Lord, you are good. Your goodness runs after us, Lord. You're so worthy to be praised, Lord. And we just want to lift up your name this morning. We want to sing your name. We want to shout hallelujah, Lord. And proclaim your goodness, Lord. Proclaim your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. We pray this in your beautiful Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure, praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm numbered, praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. Come on, let's praise. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul.
Quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep?
me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
Turn around, I can see that you're enough. Thank you, thankful. Oh, let's give thanks to God. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it reads, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We have to give thanks when things are going good. We have to give thanks when we're facing challenges. We've got to come with grateful hearts. He's good. He's always good. And His love endures forever.
We give thanks. We give thanks. For the Lord is good and His love endures always. We give thanks. We give thanks. For the Lord is good and His love endures.
Father, I've known you.
Lord, we love you this morning. We're so grateful to you, Lord. We're so, so very grateful, Lord, that you are the constant. You never changed. We're grateful for your mercy. We are grateful for your love and your grace, Lord. We are grateful, Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. Let everything of our lives be a demonstration of your goodness, Lord. We worship you. We adore you. We love you, Lord. And everything that we do, Lord, we always covenant to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In your wonderful name, amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you so much, worship team. Man, aren't these oaks awesome? Hey, I tell you what. You know, just so that you guys know, we as a team here, even our worship, we want our worship to be an expression of our message. So the songs we're singing are consistent with the words we preach. Amen? Amen. Focusing on the finished work of Jesus, his mercy, his love for us, his grace, that is his ability at work within us. Amen? And so even the songs we're singing are consistent with that. So it's my joy to share an offering scripture with you this morning. I'm reading 1 Chronicles 16 from verse 27 to 29. And this is a long prayer, but I'm just taking three verses out of it. It says, honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. So he's saying here, man, our giving is an expression of worship. Amen. We're not giving to get something from God. God's given everything in his son, and if he gave his son freely, how will he not with him freely give us all things? So I'm not giving to get God to do anything. God's done everything. I'm giving as an expression of worship, that everything belongs to him, and I'm giving from the abundance of my heart. Amen. And so there's many ways you can give. You can give cash. You can give Bitcoin. You can give via EFT. If there isn't a way that you would like to give that we don't know of, tell us. We'll make it available for you. Amen. And then my gorgeous wife is going to come and share a message to continue talking about grace for life. Amen. That God's ability is available so that you can have the abundant life that he promised. Amen. So enjoy the service. Open up your hearts.
Good morning, church. Ooh, it's good to be home. Isn't it wonderful? There's no place like home. And it's so lovely to see you all back today. I was back last week. You weren't. You were all still in bed in that cold weather. I know it was a rainy day, but it is so lovely. We had such a wonderful time. My godmother and I, we saw Norway. We ministered in Brussels. And then spent a week in London, so it really is wonderful to experience the world, but there's no place like South Africa. Thank you, South African men, for always helping us ladies. I just want to say that out loud. We had some very heavy suitcases, And there were times we had to get it above our head and nobody helped us. So until we hit South African soil, and then the men were very gracious. So we are so grateful for our South African men and our friendliness. Never take it for granted. Smile at someone, say, I'm proudly South African. We are. And if you're not South African, you're in good place. We are here. So I'm going to be continuing just this wonderful series of Grace for Life. Steve did a fantastic job of just setting the foundations. And I'm going to continue setting foundations, because if you know building, obviously like I do, and you're into construction, you know that if you want to build a one-story house, you only need so many foundations. But if you want to go into a 10-story house or a skyscraper, you need deep foundations. And that's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to give you the foundations in grace that you can build sky high with what God has called you to do. Amen. So you may think you've heard it. We are doing foundations. So some of the original languages in Hebrew, there is the word chen for grace. This means favor and acceptance. I don't want us to just get into this routine of saying, well, grace is unmerited favor. I know what it means. I've been there. We need to grasp, what is grace? That when we ask for grace, when we need grace, what is it actually we are asking for? Another word in Greek, I say charis. Some people say charis. I think if you add a to any language, it sounds like you speak the language. I've learned that in French. You just say, oui, oui. Merci. Merci beaucoup. You see, you just sound so passionate. So charis, here we go, means goodwill, favor, and thanks. This is what I got out of last week's, was when you're living in grace, there is this overwhelming gratitude. You live in thanks. You cannot live in grace without being thankful. And so when we see grace, we put it all together. We see it's unmerited favor. It's this gift, it's strength, it's ability, it's power that is saturated in gratitude. That is what grace is. And so if we look at some of these just by itself, to understand favor or this gift, we look at Ephesians 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We need to understand that this has got everything to what God gives us versus what we do by ourselves. And the second one is an ability. In 1 Peter 4 verse 10, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Each one. That means everybody sitting here has a gift of grace to minister to the person next to you. It doesn't say let the pastors minister to the congregation. We each get this gift of grace to minister to one another. And that just takes all the pressure off. It gives you such boldness to say, I'm going to have a grace in a circumstance when I need to speak out to somebody, when I need to minister, when I need to show compassion or love. There is a grace. And it says, if anyone speaks, oh, let me just say, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Grace. His gift, his favor, his ability, and then his strength and power. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I saw this bumper last week, I hadn't seen it with the production, and I said to the staff, I'm going to pray for an interpretation of what this bumper means. How this incredible Japanese art form where they take these cracked vases and put gold in, how it actually prophetically speaks to us. And in the first service, this scripture came up in my heart, where Paul says, "It my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength," God says, "my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses." When you feel you have cracks in your life, whether it be your past, whether it be where you've fallen short, whether you've missed the mark, God says, when you have these weaknesses, I'm going to bring my grace. I'm going to bring this gold thread of my strength, of my ability, and I'm going to make you stronger than you'll ever be. I will make your life beautiful. And they say that those vases, those bowls are even stronger than their original design, with a gold thread right through them. That is what grace looks like. When we are weak, he gives us the ability and the strength, this beautiful gold thread. And he says, I will be sufficient for you in whatever you're facing. Whatever you need right now, he has it for you. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in grace. That is Christ Jesus. Be strong. Have this ability of God. Grace is not just the unmerited favor of God, but it's his ability, it's his strength and power to do things we thought we could never do in our own strength. And then it's covered in gratitude. That's what grace is for us. Grace is not us doing our own thing. Like Steve mentioned, there is this response, and we're going to see it throughout Scripture. Grace is what God did for us. Faith is our response to receive that grace. There is a work in grace. People think, oh, well, I can do what I like, or I don't have to do anything. No, in grace, there is this obedience of faith to take it, to believe it, and to use it, to carry on with your salvation. God demonstrating that he's done it all for us. We then get to work his plan. So then you say, well, Dee, what are works? Well, let me read to you in Romans 11, verse 6. It says, but if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. You cannot mix work and grace. Works and grace. Works is when you are doing something in your own ability, in your own strength, in order to find acceptance and love from God. That is works. That is going through the laws to make sure I'm accepted, so that I can present myself to God. That is not grace. Grace is when you understand he has a finished work. And that when we understand he has done it, we then get to respond to that acceptance. I use the analogy of my children and the dishwasher, the famous dishwasher. I was so blessed in Brussels. I was with a family, they have three children. And so they were told to unload the dishwasher. And they each had a part. It was like living in deja vu. The one child had to do the knives and forks, the other child had to do the top, and the other child had to do the bottom. With the dishwasher, everything's got to be fair. So with four children, we either have one doing the top, one bottom, and then the next time it swaps, it's a whole mission anyway. Don't know why I'm telling you my life story about the dishwasher. It's a real thing. Anyway, a dishwasher is part of the family. My children know they are loved and accepted. They are part of my family. I will love them whether they unload the dishwasher or not. But as part of grace, as part of this ability, I've trained them to unload the dishwasher. So they get up, they know it's their turn, and they unload the dishwasher. They don't wake up in the morning thinking, what must I do to make mom love me today? Because if I don't unload that dishwasher, she will reject me. Can you see the difference? We are the family of God. He's given us acceptance. He's given us salvation. We get to do his works because we are loved and accepted. We are not doing these things to become loved and accepted. And that is the difference between grace and works and what Romans is talking about. And I bought this picture of oil and water. You cannot mix the two of them. It's either grace or you're in works. And Romans is saying there, you're either in grace, but if you think you're in works, grace is lifted. We get to choose to walk in this incredible gift of grace, his strength, his ability, his favor, wrapped in gratitude. And so my best, if you've known me, if you've heard me preach, my best is always to go to the original design. How did God intend for us to live? Before it all got messed up, before your cell phone got broken, what was the original factory settings? And we find it in Genesis, and we see how is this grace story, how is the foundation of grace then played out in Genesis? What was God's plan? And we see this, and you're going to have to think quite hard now. We're going back to Kids Vine. If you've ever been to children's ministry, this is when it's going to kick in. You've waited for this moment. I'm going to ask you to shout out, what day did God make? Now the files are going in the brain. You've got all the pictures. Okay, you got your children's books going. What is she going to ask? Is it animals? Is it stars? Is it day and night? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to shout the day out, and then I'm going to ask what day it is. So you're going to just give me a number. There's grace in the first service. They got it all wrong. They shouted whack numbers. So just shout out a number. But I'm going to ask you, what day did God make man? Ooh, that was quick. Fingers on the buttons and we just like got it. Okay, if you're still looking at me, the answer's already been said. It is the number 6. God's original design was that he finished the whole of creation and then he created man. He didn't make man on day one and said, now we're going to work. Now you've got your job in. We are going to get this done. It's all your choice. No, grace is a finished work. God said, I'm going to do it all. Before I come and bring you to the party, let me get everything finished. Isn't that a beautiful picture of grace? He said, I'm going to create the stars, the sun, the moon. Oh, wait till you see what I'm going to do with the sea. Then he said, oh, and the land and the plants. It's like one of those home makeover editions. How many of you have seen those TV shows? And then the people are arriving and you see all the angels like vacuuming. Okay, they're coming. They're almost here. Move that bus. And God created man. I think that's why some of the animals do look a bit strange. I think they ran out of time. I'm not going to lie. Who makes a giraffe with such a long neck? He probably got stuck with one angel like, just throw it. He's coming. We're okay. And all the angels are exhausted. We made it. And a man arrived in the finished work of grace. And we read it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Then the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Day 6. But then did Adam sit on his rusty dusty and do nothing? No, it's the original design. And we read it in Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. In the Message Bible, it says, God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. Grace is there to empower us to cultivate our lives. It doesn't mean we don't do anything ever again. But there is a working, there is a joy in cultivating what God has given us. And we get to do it by grace. You know, in Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, it says, and so then, my beloved, just as you have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my presence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is so key for us. I love how he says, you know, you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also in my absence. This is like parenting 101. We all want our children not only to obey us when we're hovering like mothers, helicopters, but to also know that they can do and make good choices when we're not there, in our absence. And God's saying, please, even when you feel I'm not there, you are going to work out your salvation, what I've given you, with fear and trembling. In actual fact, it's with reverence. Fear is the wrong word there. It's with reverence and trembling, which means, I love it, actually described it as a way they described it in those days. It meant the one who distrusts his ability completely to meet all requirements. That means we've got to know we need God's grace in this. And then it says, but does his utmost to fulfill his duty. God has given us salvation, and we get to tend the garden. We get to tend it with reverence, knowing that it's not our ability. It's his power, his gift, his favor working in us to experience the Zoe life of God. And so my question, and so many people ask me, but Dee, what is grace when we mess up? What does it look like? And you may be sitting here and say, Dee, you don't know what I've done. It's easy for you to talk about grace. I want to go back to the original design. It's so beautiful. We know the story. Adam and Eve were in this beautiful garden, tending it, and they missed the mark. They took a bite of the knowledge of tree of good and evil, and there they sat, knowing they had messed up. And we see that God comes looking for them in the cool of the day. They had missed the high tea that they always had with Father God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he comes and he says, where are you? Adam, where are you? And the Bible says that they when they ate, they realized they were naked and ashamed. Here they are. They've missed the mark. They're naked and ashamed. And we find the answer to the original design of grace in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 3. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Isn't this so beautiful? He didn't shout. He didn't scream. He didn't say, now what? He didn't say, I'm so disappointed. He didn't say, I told you not to eat the apple. No. While they were missing the mark, the sewing machine was going. He was busy making garments. And he says, he gives them to Adam and his wife and clothes them. That is the God of grace that I serve. That even when you miss it, He's ready, waiting to clothe you. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man became like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." You see, there were two trees in that garden. And now God is saying, listen, we have a problem. If you decide to eat of the next tree, you're going to be stuck in this situation forever. Eternity means you're going to be knowing the good knowledge of good and evil forever, and I can never save you. And that is why he says, therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Religion has taught us that God is angry. He's like, get out, I told you, don't do this. I'm going to drive you out. No, that was not the God of grace. The God of grace was like, I have to get you out as soon as possible because if you eat from that tree, we're stuck. But I have a plan. I have a salvation plan that I'm going to come and save you one day. I'm going to send Jesus and he's going to die on a tree, on a cross, and bring salvation to you so that we can reset our original factory settings. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was not driving them out in anger. He was saying, come, 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 let's get out of here in case you have a sudden urge to eat more fruit. That is the God of grace. And he put an angel there with fire so that they would never find it ever again. His grace is God's part. It's what he's given us. We have to respond in faith. We have to choose to believe this ability, this strength that he's given us. In Galatians 2 verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, that's works without faith, then Christ died in vain. In Titus 2 verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We're going to need grace to do this. This world is dark. I've seen, we live in such a bubble here. The world needs Jesus. They can't do this on their own. They can't live lives soberly and righteously and godly. It's hard. It's hard. Our teenagers, our young adults, our married couples, our golden oldies, it's hard where we are right now. But we need God's grace to survive what we're going through. We get to choose to accept it by faith. That is our obedience. He's provided it for everyone, but we need to step out and accept it. And I'm going to finish with one of my favorite stories in John chapter 4. For me, this just wraps up everything of God's original design of what grace. And to understand what Jesus does in circumstances when we mess up. What does it mean when we need help in a time of need? And in John 4 verse 7, we see Jesus, he's gone on a whole different journey. He wasn't supposed to even go through Samaria. That already is just grace. He's like, I'm going on a different journey. And he sends his disciples away to get food. And he meets the woman at the well. And we find it in verse 7 where he says, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. She's there in the middle of the day. She doesn't want to see anyone. She should have been there in the morning with the other woman. She's all alone. And Jesus says to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This is Grace 101. I want to tell you, no matter what you've done, Jesus comes to you. Grace comes to you. Jesus came to this woman at the well. He wasn't waiting for her to get her life right. Grace comes to where you are. Whatever circumstances you are going through, I've met some of our congregation this week where they are mourning horrible losses of family members. But I saw a grace on them that are getting them through this mourning, because we don't mourn like those without hope. I've seen grace on families that need financial breakthrough. I've seen grace on people that need to make a decision for their future. I've seen grace on marriages. Grace comes where you are right now. If you're needing grace, he's there. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? You see, on the outside, grace can be incomprehensible. It doesn't make sense. To the world, we are crazy. We are really crazy. It doesn't make sense. Where are you going to get the cup from? How are you going to drink? Are you telling me I'm never going to be thirsty? Are you telling me you got through this? How did you get through this? They don't understand it. It's grace. But to them, it's completely crazy. But when you're in it and you experience that grace, then suddenly it makes sense. Whether it's death, sickness, financial, even favor. They look at us and say, well, how did you get that right? It's favor. It's really favor. And Jesus answered her, anyone or everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Can you see? She's heard of this grace, and here comes the step in faith. Give it to me. I want it. This is what I've been looking for my whole life. I have been thirsty. I've been looking for things in men. I've looked in the circumstances. I've looked in the woman. No one. I'm so thirsty. Here comes that obedience and faith. Give it to me. We have to respond to his grace. Give it to me, she says. Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I love this part. Because what happens here is Jesus speaks grace and truth. Like Steve spoke about this pendulum that we've experienced, where either grace is like you can do what you like because Jesus is still going to love you. There's no consequences. Yes, he will love you, but there are consequences. And then there's the other side of grace where I'm not going to say anything. Jesus will just love you. I'm not going to. No, Jesus speaks with grace and truth. He says, you're missing the mark, but I still love you. You've spoken right, but actually this is the whole truth. And she doesn't get offended. What does she do? She experiences this encounter with grace and says, you actually do know everything about me and still love me. We don't need to hide sin. When we miss the mark, it's understanding that we have a Jesus that sees how we've missed the mark, but then comes and fills the hole. When you've missed the mark, you need to run boldly into that throne room of grace. That he knows what you've done and how you've missed it, but he will still share the truth with you of his love and acceptance. And then what happens? He says, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, today, on Sunday, in 2023, where we will worship, true worship, in spirit and in truth. We will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And then there's this moment. Church, this is the moment of grace. Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. You may think, well, that's nasty. He just told her he was the Christ. Church, this is the first time in the whole of eternity that Jesus is on earth and he declares to a Samaritan woman in the middle of nowhere, I'm the Christ. This is how much grace. He had a whole eternity to think, who should I tell the first person to? Maybe Herod, not so much. Disciples, yeah, there's quite a few opportunities. Oh, there's one that really loves me. He would do a good job. The one person, the law of the first mentioned, you know that law, it's so vital. Who do you tell first? I remember with my mom, it was like, who do I tell first that she's going to be a granny? And you make a whole thing about it. You take them out for dinner. And then what do you say? Please don't put it on Facebook. I've got other people to tell. Because it's so important. You want to tell them face to face. Jesus knew how important this moment was. And yet in grace, he chose this beautiful Samaritan woman who needed his grace. And she felt so loved. She left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I've done. This is not the Christ, is it? For that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. And then later on, these precious people stay with Jesus for 2 days. And it says, many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. Hallelujah, church. We need to know there is grace found in Jesus, no matter where you are right now. Many of you may be thirsty. Maybe you've been living in shame of your past. Maybe you've been living with bad decisions. Maybe you're living and you're needing favor right now. You get to call on that gold thread of grace to say, Jesus, I'm feeling weak. I don't feel like the best mom in the world. I don't feel like I'm supporting my family. I'm in a financial crisis. I've lost. Let him become the gold thread in your life and give you the strength, the ability, the favor that you need right now. Won't you stand with me? Just where you are, won't you just close your eyes? Where are you thirsty? Where do you feel that hole is? Maybe it is something from your past that you're ashamed of. I want to tell you, He has help for you. Maybe you're feeling alone. Maybe you're feeling insecure. Won't you let Him come to you this morning? Let Him put His arms around you. Won't you just say to Him, Jesus, I need grace in this area. Just tell Him right now. I need grace. I need grace in my marriage. I need grace in my finances. I need grace for my future. I need grace for my past decisions. Just feel this peace. Lord, I pray you bring your strength, your ability, your gift of favor, that finished work in our lives. Give us wisdom. I pray for every person here that has had a hole that only you can fulfill, that you can bring your living water of grace. I pray where we've missed the mark, you speak love and truth into our circumstances. Thank you, Father. Maybe this morning you've come here and you don't even know this God of grace. If that's you this morning, while every head is bowed, I would be honored to pray with you. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, won't you just raise your hand and show me this morning? Maybe you're online and you've never given your life to Jesus. Won't you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Can we just pray together? Say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, today I am your child. I believe you finished the work on the cross and made me brand new. Today I believe in you, in your grace, your ability and strength, your gift of favor. I give you my life, my circumstances. Fill it with grace. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you that as a family we come before you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life. Thank you that we can rely on your grace no matter what circumstances we are facing this week, that you are with us, that we are not alone, that we face everything together, that you will be that gold thread in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray this. And everybody said, amen. We have a wonderful ministry team that would love to stand with you if you need to continue in getting some ministry. Otherwise, go and grab a great cup of coffee. And always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved. Have a great week.